You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, back to school for university students often involves a lot of parties and often a lot of drinking. We'll talk to a dean at UW-Stout about a new program to fight high-risk drinking off campus.
First, the long simmering debate about free-roaming cats and the damage they can do to birds and native species just got a little more intense. The book Cat Wars comes out today, calling for a future free of all free-ranging cats.
The arguments to rein in feral cats and keep house cats indoors go something like this. Outdoor cats kill birds and other native species, according to some studies, in vast numbers, and roaming cats die earlier than house cats. On the other side, some advocates for letting their cats out will say cats can kill rodents. That means less rat poisoning, better controlled pest populations. Cats, they're wired to hunt. They're happier if they're allowed outside and less prone to obesity if they get outside.
Stanley Temple and his students have studied the impact of free-ranging cats on wildlife in rural Wisconsin. He's the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and a Senior Fellow of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Stan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica.
Well, why is the debate about the effects of free-roaming cats such a heated one? You were mentioning right before we went on the air that this is something that's kind of haunted you throughout your professional career. When you're on the radio like this, you get hate mail sometimes.
Well, the whole issue is rather surprising in a number of respects. Here in the U.S. and in most countries around the world, it's generally accepted that if you own a domestic animal, you do not allow that domestic animal to roam freely. We don't let dogs roam free. We don't let our horses roam free and so on. It seems to be somewhat different here in the U.S., but it's also rather surprising to me, and has been ever since my professional career intersected with cats, of what an emotional issue this is, especially with two camps, people who are, I would say, very fond of cats and don't like to see or hear anything negative said about cats. And on the other side, people who see cats as a very harmful, invasive species that does harm to native wildlife.
And it seems to me from the outside of this that it's getting more intense and higher profile. I'm thinking about Jonathan Franzen's novel Freedom, where one of the main characters is this guy who's on this crusade to stop cats from going outside. A major novel, a major novelist, and it seems as though the debate keeps getting more intense. So what do you think? Do you see it being something that we haven't resolved, so it keeps intensifying?
No, I think that's absolutely right. It has gotten more intense, and to some extent that parallels the really phenomenal growth in the number of cats in the U.S. And going along with the increase in the total number of cats, of course, is an increase in the number of cats that are free-ranging. And free-ranging cats include a number of categories. In some places, a few warm places, there are truly feral cats that exist completely independent of humans. In a lot of places, there are sort of commensal cats that are not owned as pets but live in close association with people and depend on them for food and shelter. And then there are the owned pet cats that owners allow to free range, to go outside and range freely.
And I imagine that the owners of those pet cats, some of whom, you know, those cats go outside, are some of the people who are most concerned about. But how big a problem is that last category when you look at the bigger impact?
Well, we know some things about the numbers, and the numbers are pretty astounding. There are about 90 million owned pet cats in the U.S., and depending on the location where studies have been done, often somewhere in the neighborhood of a quarter to a third of those cats are allowed to free range. So we're talking about tens of millions of cats that free range. Our study here just in rural Wisconsin suggested that, much like many of the other studies that followed, that about a third of the owned pet cats in rural Wisconsin are allowed to free range.
And so what happened here in Wisconsin? This is something you studied with your students, and you got some interesting results, to say the least. So what did you find?
Well, our study was prompted by a growing concern about the conflict between free-ranging cats and conservation objectives. And what we looked at was several-fold. How many cats are out there in rural Wisconsin? And we focused on rural Wisconsin because those were the places where cats would have the most interactions with wildlife. And we found that there were at least 1.4 million free-ranging cats in Wisconsin. That included a lot of commensal cats, which here in Wisconsin we generally call barn cats, but it also included the pet cats that were allowed to free range. And we looked at what they killed, and we found that on average, each of those free-ranging cats killed at least 5.6 birds a year. And when you consider that there were 1.4 million of them out there, it adds up pretty quickly to 7.8 million birds that are killed every year just in rural Wisconsin by free-ranging cats.
And I'm sure cats don't discriminate. They're not just killing the grackles and the sparrows. Do you know what kinds of birds were impacted most severely when you talk about that?
We have a pretty good idea. It looks as though they target, as you might guess, ground-dwelling birds, so birds that nest and spend a lot of time on the ground. And here in Wisconsin, unfortunately, that includes a group of birds that are in big conservation trouble, and those are our grassland birds. And grassland birds don't have much native prairie left to live in, so they are mostly living in agricultural grasslands that, at least in Wisconsin, are close to rural homes and farmsteads where most of these rural cats exist.
And you're quoted heavily. There's a chapter that goes deeply into your research in this new book coming out today. It's called Cat Wars. And that author argues that he sees cats as an invasive species. Humans bring them in. The cats breed. They kill these vulnerable species. Do you agree with that argument?
I think I have to. As an ecologist, I know that people often think of cats as being somehow special. But indeed, as an ecologist, they fit the definition of an invasive species. They are not native in the area. They do go out into natural habitats and hunt and kill wildlife. So they have become invasive.
We're talking to Stanley Temple right now. His research is featured in the new book, Cat Wars. And we're talking about this debate over free-roaming cats and what kind of impact these cats have on the environment, conservation, and also whose decision it is to let a cat roam or not to let a cat roam. And Stanley, it seems like one sticking point here in the path to any sort of consensus about this is that sometimes these conversations seem like they could translate into an excuse to hate cats, and a lot of people really love cats, and I think those people worry that this kind of vitriol that can get stirred up could lead to cruelty. Do you worry about that?
I suppose you have to in a society as complex as ours. There certainly are people out there that don't like cats, and some portion of those people who don't like cats probably might feel inclined to do something that other people might consider to be cruel or unethical.
And if you look at the internet runs on cat videos. So obviously there's a portion of people who really love cats. I mean, dogs don't get this kind of hatred generally directed at them. But do you think there's a distinction there to be made between the way we feel about cats and the way we feel about dogs and the problems that both species could be a part of?
Well, it's interesting to go back 100 years, and the discussion in the U.S. really was about free-ranging dogs. And there was a societal pushback, if you will. It was prompted by concerns, in that case with dogs, about them killing wildlife, and rabies and diseases that could be spread to people and livestock. And indeed, it's exactly the same argument today. And 100 years ago, it was the debate over whether people should be allowed to let their dogs range free or whether they had to keep them under control. And I think society has pretty much decided that you cannot let your dog roam free. There are usually laws and regulations, leash laws, if you will, and keep your dog confined to your property. But we haven't gotten to that point with cats yet, so the debate still carries on.
Well, you and I had a little email conversation about this. The Washington Post ran an article that included the arguments that you outlined, that cats can harm some conservation objectives. But then they rounded up some animal experts who'd written books. And these people said, yes, I do care about, you know, conservation, and maybe I'm tortured about this a little bit, but I do let my cat roam. And a lot of them, just to round up what they said maybe the cats kill rats, or that the cats were happier outside. They were hardwired to hunt, and that it was actually good for these cats. They had less stress, less obesity. What do you think of those arguments?
Well, a few of those points may be valid, but the point is basically that the decision to allow cats to go outdoors is one that individuals make. And I would say that the individual humans who make that decision are individuals who are primarily concerned about that individual cat that they own. And they are quite different in their outlook on this issue from people who may like cats, but whose primary concern is about the welfare of wildlife species. And it's an interesting divide in a number of ways. It's a domestic animal versus wild animals. It's an individual animal versus populations of animals. So on a number of levels, it divides people in a very interesting sort of way. That's very difficult, actually, to find a bridge between these two, which is why the debate is so hot.
Well, we're talking right now about this debate, the debate over free-roaming cats, as a new book comes out today positioning cats as an invasive species. Stanley Temple is with us now. His research is featured in the book Cat Wars. He's professor emeritus in conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Should it be up to the individual cat owner to decide if the cat goes outside? How serious should we be about curbing feral cats, neighborhood cats, keeping house cats indoors? Why do you think people are so passionate on this? If you own or are owned by a cat, do you keep that cat inside or let it roam wild and free? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're talking about the debate over free-roaming cats. There's a new book about the subject out just today. It's called Cat Wars, and it positions cats as an invasive species. Stanley Temple's with us now. His research on the effect of these free-roaming cats is featured in that book, Cat Wars. He's professor emeritus in conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should people let their cats go outside? Do you let your cat go outside? Do you think the damage that cats do to wildlife is a big problem? Worth giving it up? Changing our societal attitudes toward cats? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our callers now. We have Alan on the line in Viola. Alan, hi.
Hi. Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling to say, you know, growing up out in the rurals, that, you know, we had some barn cats that would, you know, keep the rodents down and so forth on the barn, but my grandpa had a very strict policy that, you know, we would basically shoot any stray cats that would come onto our property. So we kind of had a few cats that would sort of roam, I guess you could say, but we also controlled any additional cats that came onto the property.
What was the thinking behind shooting the strays?
Well, again, it was basically to just have a set number of cats living on the property so that we didn't have so many cats that they were, you know, kind of overrunning the area.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. And Alan's talking about those barn cats you were mentioning in Wisconsin. A lot of people have barn cats, as Alan said, keeping the rodent population down in the barn. Is there a utility there?
Well, barn cats in Wisconsin, of course, are not, for the most part, owned pets. They're usually not given veterinary care. They're not usually given a lot of food. And indeed, when we surveyed a lot of farmers and we asked them why they had so many cats on their property, basically, they just said, well, they're there, just like the pigeons and the starlings that are in the barn. Unless we actively go after them, the numbers just increase. They just keep coming. So as Alan said, you know, unless you do control them, some of these farms in Wisconsin had dozens of cats living essentially, you know, centered on their farmstead.
I want to ask you about what Alan said at the end there, that his family shot the cats that came, who were above the number that they wanted at the barn. We also got a caller who couldn't stay on the line, who said, as a hunter, he said he shoots every feral cat that he sees while hunting. He added those cats have decimated some of the hunted bird populations. Is that a solution, shooting cats? I mean, a lot of people are going to say that that is not a humane solution to this problem. What do you think?
Well, it's an interesting sort of legal and ethical question, and it really became an international incident, really, in Wisconsin 10 years ago when our Conservation Congress is this annual event in every county in the state in which the DNR invites people to come in and either comment on things the DNR is doing or suggest things that they think the DNR ought to do. And there was a proposal made, that a question really of why doesn't Wisconsin treat unowned free-ranging cats the same way that most states do, and that is to have them legally declared an unprotected animal, which would put them essentially in the same category as mice or rats or pigeons or starlings, an exotic, non-native, invasive species. And what that would mean essentially is that the state would have no particular interest in how you controlled them, as long as you didn't break any other laws, as long as you didn't do something that amounted to animal cruelty, as long as you didn't discharge a firearm in the city limits or some of the other things that might be involved. But most states do have laws on the books that list animals like free-ranging feral cats as unprotected animals.
And how does it work out in those states?
Well, it's obviously not a solution to controlling cat numbers, because cat numbers are increasing everywhere. So it's not a common occurrence, and certainly doesn't happen frequently enough to control cat numbers.
Let's go back to our callers. I've got Ted with us next in Manawa, I think it is. Ted, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what did you want to share?
Well, I have a number of bird feeders and bird houses, and we have cats that come and try to get the birds. And for years we've had bluebirds nesting in our bird houses, but for a few years there, the cats have been killing them, and now the last 3-4 years we haven't had any bluebirds. So I don't like stray cats.
All right. Thank you, Ted. And bluebird's a rare bird, one that a lot of bird watchers I know are excited about seeing. So is that typical, I guess, of what happens when you've got cats interacting with some of these other species?
Well, when we were doing our research in rural Wisconsin, we were not only studying the cat populations, but we were also studying the bird populations around rural homes and farms. And what we knew about the hunting ranges of cats that ranged outward from the barn or the rural home, and how many birds they were likely to have access to in that area, we estimated that about 10% of the birds that live within the hunting range of these rural free-ranging cats get killed by cats every year. That's not an insignificant source of mortality, especially for some of these birds that are having a pretty rough time because of other problems like habitat loss.
Well, Ted, thank you for the call, and we're going to go next to Jason in Oak Creek. Jason, hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What did you want to share?
Yeah, recently me and my family were in the Philippines, and it's very heavily populated there, and they like cats. Some of them do. Many of them learn to hate cats, and so there's a lot of cats out on the street. They get really scrawny and feral, and you really notice that the absence of wildlife, especially around the cities and the villages. And the cats actually turn out to compete with the humans they'll sneak into houses and steal food because there's no wildlife available to hunt.
Jason, thanks for the call. Talking about his experience in the Philippines, sounds like you've seen this in action, huh?
Well, actually, he brings up a really interesting case. Cats have probably had, unquestionably had, their most terrible impact on wildlife on islands around the world.
New Zealand.
Especially tropical New Zealand, Australia, many smaller islands around the world, especially the ones that are in tropical and subtropical climates, where they really do have large populations of truly feral cats, as well as the commensal cats that the caller saw in cities. And indeed, if you look at the irreparable damage that cats have done to wildlife, cats have been the cause of at least 33 bird extinctions around the world, most of them on islands. And they threaten, cats are one of the main threats to another 142 species that are on the endangered species list, many of them on islands around the world.
So, Stan, this is a tough nut to crack, and we're not going to do it by the end of our time together, but in our last 30 seconds or so, how should we start going at this problem?
Well, I think there are probably three things that we need to do. First, we need to control the cat overpopulation. We can do that through responsible pet ownership, which means keeping your pet cat indoors and controlling its reproduction. We can certainly do things about removing cats from sensitive natural areas where they interact with wildlife that are of great conservation concern. And probably, you know, finally, we should change our societal attitudes toward free-ranging cats and regard them the same way that we regard domestic dogs.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Stanley Temple, Professor Emeritus in Conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and a Senior Fellow of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. He and his students have studied the impact of free-ranging cats and what that impact is on wildlife in rural Wisconsin. And we want to know what you think. You can let us know your thoughts over on the Central Time Facebook page.